I'd like to welcome everybody to the February 9th Select Board meeting. Would you all join me as we pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call.
Steph.
Sue.
Maureen.
Brian.
Pat.
Okay. We have approval of the January 26th Select Board meeting.
Make a motion to accept as presented.
We get a second?
I'll second it.
Any changes or discussion?
No.
I think like line 67.
167.
Right around there.
67?
Yeah, on the second page. And I'm not sure if it, is it clear that it said that that there isn't a stipend there? Is that clear?
Yes.
Okay.
The wording's a little funky, but.
It was determined that there is no stipend paid for the emergency management position.
Anything else? You see none? All in favor?
Steph.
Sue.
Maureen.
Brian.
Pat.
Perfect.
I can't get the video to stop, but I got the mute. I mean, it's unmuted.
It looks like the video froze.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just frozen.
Reboot.
I might have to unplug the camera, plug it back in.
These were the ones that were previously discussed and approved. So.
Okay.
There's no action. We just got to sign it. There's no action was already taken. It's just to sign it.
Cannot detect your microphone.
Yeah, it takes a minute.
There you go. Takes a minute.
There's the owl.
Well, that's cute.
You never heard that before? No.
I think you need to boot this one, if you can boot one of them. Can you kick that one out?
How the heck did that happen?
Remove, and then I think you're somehow in there twice.
Yeah, I don't know why.
What happened?
Yeah, don't report it. I think you just accidentally, it didn't kick you out when you restarted, so you maybe?
And then just click on video down at the bottom left.
There you go.
Thank you.
Well, Goodler?
I think so.
Looks like the Brady Bunch up there, ready to go.
All right, departmental reports. Highway's usually first, but I'm going to let the chief go first because he's under the weather a little bit.
I appreciate that. Thanks. So this monthly stats, I changed some things up to kind of show you guys a little bit more of an understanding of what we're doing out there, so I'm going to go through that. Nothing has changed with our personnel. Our training right now this month, we really haven't done any extra training. We're still working on the accreditation process. Again, that's going to take some time. We're in the process of getting some policies, some model policies from other accredited PDs and starting to work on those and put those into our policy manual. You'll see on the next page, I got the Candia Police Department motor vehicle stats. What I did here, instead of just going, these are the stops, these are the tickets, I kind of broke it down for you a little bit. We had 18 accidents this month. We had 9 with no injury. We had 1 with injury. We had 3 unknown, so they didn't like report it. We had 5 motor vehicle vehicles off the road, probably due to the snow. We did 118 stops for the month. And then what we did here is we went through each stop that the officer did, and you can see what they were stopping for, right?
Okay.
So general speed, there were 41 stops. That's anything less than like 11 and under, right? So like they're going 7, 8 over, they get stopped. That would be your general speed, if that makes sense to you. There were 25 people for going 11 to 24 miles over the limit. There were 4 people pulled over for going 25 plus. That's fast, right? Mm-hmm. 18, that generally is like a headlight or a taillight, not using your turn signal, something along those lines. Jessica's Law, I've talked about it. 4 people were stopped for it, right?
Good.
You know, again, I can't stress it enough. Clear the snow and ice off your vehicle. It can hurt somebody. If it comes off, it can kill somebody, especially at faster speeds, right? Speeding through the school zone, we had 4. And then other moving violations, this would be like your lane control, your stop signs. We had 22 that we stopped for in there. And then we had 3 arrests arrive out of those motor vehicles. So then on the other page where you see the arrests, those were out of motor vehicle stops. I put out a memo about the vehicle inspection requirements. I know it's a hot topic with a lot of people. I think the letter explained out like what we see and what we're at, right? We're not going to be pulling people over just for the inspection of the vehicle, right? You're still required to have good tires, working headlights, working taillights, working brake lights. That's nothing out of this. It's just the sticker, right? And it's because of the Gordon Darby Holdings are suing the state because they have the Clean Air Act. That's what they're going for. So until that kind of gets worked out, most of the police departments in the state are taking this stance. We also got direction from the AG's office not to pull over solely for the inspection sticker. You know, people violate, we're not always looking for that, right? Like it's moving violations, it's stop sign, it's speed, it's other things. So is there any questions to that? Or
that was a very well put memo.
Thanks, I appreciate that. If you go to the next one, we have a little bit more animal control incidents we were dealing with. We had 16 this month. 4 loose dogs, 5 wildlife calls, and the 7 complaints and notifications. What those are is the people that haven't registered their dogs. So we have the list. We're going to the houses now to start. They go, hey, register your dogs. You know, it's a law. RSA 461. You know, it's not a big deal to do the $9 and just do it. You know, but we're going to cite them. It will be a civil forfeiture. We'll deal with it. You know, I get it. And, you know, if people have something that has happened to their animal, call in. Let us know. You know, it's not that sad. Animals are like kids to people, right? And they take care of them. We care about that, but the law is the law. You have to have your animal rabied. You have to have your animal licensed. If it's not, you're going to be held accountable. The 3 arrests, you can see what those were out of the motor vehicle stops. Conduct after an accident, simple assault, reckless operation, a DWI. That was an interesting one. That one, the person thought they were in a town in Mass going through, and they were coming through at 30-plus miles an hour down Old Candy Road at 2 in the morning. The beauty about having 24-hour coverage again, right? No clue where they were at. No, 0.
That's intoxication.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a level of intoxication, you know. Another one, license required, driving without a valid license.
On the next page, you'll see the monthly stats. What I did is I broke this down from motor vehicle. Now you have just like statistical crimes, like incident reports. So we had 45 incident reports we took. We didn't have any arrests. We had 3, but they were based off motor vehicle, not just going to a house and dealing with a domestic or something along those lines. No stalking orders, which is good. We drafted 2 arrest warrants. We did 337 building checks. We assisted on 22 medical calls, and we dealt with 16 ACO incidents. Total calls we had was 673. A little bit of a slower month, which wasn't bad. Our equipment. So it's good we got the cars coming, but you'll see here in red, when it rains, it pours, right? Having 5 cars and losing 2 cars can become difficult. Car 4 went down due to transmission linkage issues. The good part about this is we had the car looked at. The mechanic goes, hey, this car's still under warranty by 4 days. So all of it's covered by Ford, and it's literally off by 4 days.
Wow.
And that's a pretty big transmission issue with that vehicle, which are very common in the Ford Explorers at 69,000 miles. Car 5 went down because of a water pump issue. I don't know if anybody's had a water pump replaced in the car, but that could be costly. Again, covered under warranty. So, but probably between both those jobs, you're looking at around $8,000 and the warranties covered them, you know. We took delivery of the 2 vehicles that are currently at Global getting outfitted.
Nice.
As parts come in. ACO vehicle is finally sold. It's gone. I don't have it anymore. And that's where we're at right now. If anybody has any area that they want us to focus on, please call. Let us know, you know, and we'll put units out there and keep an eye on that. I haven't really put the speed sign out much because of the snow.
Yeah.
They tend to get trashed in the snowstorms, you know, so I'm not going to do that until the weather gets a little bit better. And that's where we're at with the police department.
How long does it take for those new ones to get suited up?
It depends on equipment, and it depends on availability. As far as availability, we're good. We're waiting in for the parts to come in to outfit them. So I'm kind of thinking by March-ish. Yeah. Hopefully that seems about
it. So 2 to 4 weeks, probably.
Yeah, about that. If they have them sooner, they'll let me know, but... So we should be getting car 4 back here this week from Auto Fair.
Good.
Excellent.
Okay. Anybody got any questions? Or no? Thank you. No. Go home. Get some rest.
All right. I appreciate that.
Jeff, highway.
All right. So for the month of January, we did have 5 plowable storms and 4 spreader runs. We had quite a bit of associated cleanup after the storm with a lot of those storms, especially towards the end of January where it got really cold. And it stayed pretty cold. So we're actually having a pretty, I guess you could say we're having a classic New England winter this year, really. I mean, it's been very snowy, a lot of long duration snow events. Not a whole lot of ice, really, except for the beginning of January. We did have some rain and things like that where we had to do the spreader runs. But for the most part, we've honestly been having pretty nice, fluffy snow, which is
huge. Snow's been good, yeah.
We did truck winter sand to stockpile, and we did do a little bit of patching when it was warm enough. Something I wanted to bring up with patching. So this year is a lot different than most years where we have more of an opportunity to patch. You can't patch when it's as cold as it has been. Now, we have had a few breaks in the weather where, you know, it's anywhere from, you know, 34, 35 to we had a day where it was 40. And we always try and get out there and get as many holes as we can on those warmer days. But unfortunately, when we have a lot of cold temperatures like we have been, where we're in the negatives, or we're not above freezing, you just can't patch. It just doesn't happen. Another, I guess, just announcement I wanted to bring up, just with all the snow that we have gotten, is people plowing their snow across the road. So that's actually an RSA 236:20. You're not allowed to create any obstruction on the road. So you're not actually allowed to plow across the road. There's a lot of people who plow across the road and they don't push their banks back far enough, or they don't clean up the windrows afterwards expecting the plow to come by. If we've made our last pass, that snow is just going to sit there. It's going to freeze. Cars are going to hit it. It does create a pretty significant hazard. Plus, the banks that come from when people push across the road can really protrude out into the road pretty significantly. And once those banks, you know, thaw and then freeze, it becomes incredibly difficult to push them back. You almost have to take the loader out to do it. And really, the last reason to not push across the road is, even if it's during a storm, if we have treated and you scrape across the road, you're actually scraping our material up.
Yeah.
So what it does is it creates about a 20 or so wide path, however wide they go, of just nothing. So it's just something to keep in mind. When our plow drivers see somebody doing that, they always get them out and talk to them. Most people are pretty good about it. Most people in Candy have a lot of room, you know, on their lots to push their snow, so it's not that big of a deal. But I did want to bring that up because, especially with all the snow, it is an issue. The other thing that I want to bring up is cars on roads during the storm. On the main roads, we don't see it as much, but on the development roads, definitely people park their cars out in the road sometimes. And I understand that sometimes people can't get up their driveways, because there are people with pretty steep driveways. I grew up in a house that had a wicked steep driveway. What I would say is try and just get your car in your driveway as far as you can and move it when we're done. Because what happens is if your car's there the whole storm and we go around and clean up and then they move their car, there's still all that snow there that we couldn't get. And then it kind of just turns into ice or just really hard packed snow. So if you can, please get off the road when, you know, when it's snowing, so that we can clear, you know, the entire road.
Should we put that on the Candia website there?
Statement
of that? Because I understand, too, that it's not right to push the snow out in the road like that and leave it.
Yeah, and the other thing I wanted to bring up as well is, like, snow blowing the snow out in the road, especially if we've gone by on our last pass, and then there are quite a few people who go out into the road and clean their car off.
Yeah.
So all that, it just, you know, it either causes you to have to go around and clean up again, which just doesn't make sense, or it kind of just turns into like hard packed slush ice.
So you can do that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other than that, I don't have anything, unless you all have questions for me.
Anybody got anything for Jeff? No. Good. Thanks, sir.
Yep.
Fire.
All right. We actually had the police department a little bit slower month than normal. We did 55 calls. Nothing really special happened in the month in terms of incidents, which is nice after a very busy November and December. Mutual aid given still pretty high. Our neighbors in Deerfield and Raymond are using us quite a bit. No overlapping calls. Not going out to one-on-one as much this month. Only went out there 6 times, so that's good. We did have a resignation. Paramedic Alden Somerville. She's been with us for pretty much since we started. She had really just some personal reasons outside of work, and she's hopeful that once that gets resolved and that she'll come back. So, but that wouldn't be until at least the end of the year, if not next year. So, I've been meeting with every member of the department on a one-on-one basis to sort of just, I guess, get a lay of the land from what the members are seeing and what they're hearing or what they sort of want out of being a member of Candia Fire. And sort of the biggest one is training, as fire training. So we're gonna starting a little initiative to revamp our training and look to maybe do some training props on the property so that people can get out there and get some reps for stuff fire related, so, which is good. We had initial ESO training. So ESO is our new reporting software. The software that we had sunset at the end of this month for us. Nationally, there's a new reporting system called NERIS. It's required by law for fire departments to report to that. So we had to switch to a new system. That's in place as of February 1st. With that said, they don't make, as of right now, the reports. We're still figuring out how those reports work. So you may not get the fancy pie chart next month, but I am working on it with Captain Ball to kind of figure out how best to get the reporting out of that system. With that, a lot of our officers had administrator level training with that as well. They've pretty much met with us weekly for the last couple of weeks to get us up and running with that. The nice thing about the ESO is we're going to put all of our, we'll be able to get all of our paper documentation gone and all onto the computer. So all of our policies are in there, the truck checks, maintenance records, so we can easily pull that when the time comes. Let's see, we purchased two new radios. That's from a donation from the volunteer fires, the Candia Volunteer Firemen's Association. They donated $12,000 basically to get two new radios. The portable handheld radios that we have are about $6,000 a piece, so they ordered that. Engine 2 had a leaf spring issue that was fixed last month. Our heating system had the preventative maintenance done. Some system flushing. There was some circulator pumps that were just getting old, and I think from some of the hard water over there, they were getting tired. So they did a lot of diagnostics and testing, and they've cleaned a bunch of the overhead modines and have really improved that quite a bit. So there's no need for a new boiler, which is good. They tweaked it a little bit to increase the heat that it produces, so it's been good. We are looking to...
It's staying pretty even throughout the building as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, and it's not running as much. It was, and it doesn't alert you, right, like that there's a problem, but one of the circuits was airlocked, so there was no water actually flowing through it. So even though it was turning on, it was never getting to temperature.
Okay.
And then the modines were, there's like fins on the inside that were dirty. We only just put the air filters in there last year. So basically the water was coming in at 160 degrees and it was leaving at 160, which is not how it's supposed to work. So they were able to fix that, and they're pretty pleased that as of right now, everything looks good. Likely going to have to add a Modine heater to the ambulance side, because that's a side that seems to be the coldest. That's a side that unfortunately needs to be the warmest because of the medications. So they're getting me a quote for that, but it's going to be well under the $10,000. So hopefully it's just adding one more Modine. So interesting. Let's see, you already talked about that. Just some public education reminders for fire permits. We've had a lot of questions about it. As long as there's snow coverage, and that's complete snow coverage, you don't need a permit. You don't need to get a permit. You can burn whenever you want. There's really no rules per the state with that. If there starts to get bare ground, then you do need a permit, and then the state rules apply, where you can only burn between 5 p.m. and 9 a.m., and then you'd have to get a permit. So to get a permit, you come by the station any day of the week between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m., and the member or the personnel that are there can write you one, or you can go online and purchase one if it's after hours and you need one. I think it's like $3 processing fee that the state charges, but Barring any questions, that's our monthly report.
Okay. Anybody got any questions? Or no. Thank you, Michael. Building.
We had 43 permits issued last month, like four fireplaces, a couple generators, and one ADU.
A little cold out there doing inspection, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I had a nice inspection the other day with a new fire chief doing the sprinklers over at St. 3 Main.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
That was cold.
I was going to say, that was a cold. Cold job. Good. Anybody got anything for building? No. All right. Solid waste.
The revenue for this year so far is $792.32. The previous year was just a little bit more, $1,090.20. We sent out 24,000 pounds of plastic early in the month. We haven't received any money for that yet. And the same way with 21.6 tons of paper, but that generated $430 in revenue. On the front page, there's a math error that says the total weight disposed of during the month, including recyclables, and it was 26 tons, well, it was actually 43 tons. So Stephanie and I used our calculator and redid the numbers here. So. It's a small error, but they understated it by about 50%. But I'm still amazed at how much solid waste that place generates every month for a community of 4,000 people, which usually comes out to about 80 to 100 tons a month.
Any questions, right? None?
Need a period instead of a comma. I don't believe.
Okay.
Say 1,000 tokens, let me see.
The revenue,
26 is
actually. They didn't generate 400.
Yeah.
It's 43,000.
That'd be a good job.
You added a line that's already been added together.
It wasn't 432,000.
Yeah.
We're
good. Thank you.
Okay.
The 17 tons is already added up.
Where?
From the lines above.
Total bales, but they're different. Hold on.
Was this something that needs to be changed or no?
No, I think the numbers that are on here are accurate.
Okay. All right. Good. Anything from the budget?
No, the deliberative session, the towns, everything went through the way as it was presented, and the school went back up for their amount, their total amount went up, and then the warrant, the teachers thing went through with no problems, and then the warrant article, it set a 3% cap, so we moved it to be 15%, I believe. So, I think that, unfortunately, it might end up being a zero, so.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's what I wanted to
Good.
Do, but.
Well, as I missed one of the select board meetings, I also missed one of the plan board meetings a week or two back. We're still working on some zoning amendments and working with Southern Hampshire Planning. We've had a couple small informationals on, just not huge developments, and we're still waiting for Logan's to come in on High Street at 55.
And Crowley? Yeah.
Crowley is sitting there. We won't be, the next time we meet with them will be in March over at the school.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
High Street project was a pretty good presentation.
Yeah, it was a very good presentation. I think everybody was impressed with his layout and how he put the whole project together. So we're kind of excited to see that move forward. All right. We don't have a fire department appointment, correct, Mike?
Yeah, I'd like to take that.
You want to speak to that or just take it off? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Okay.
Speak one right now.
All right. And New Hampshire DES grant for a new fire truck?
Yeah, if I can I just ask another topic real quick before
sure.
we get into the grant?
Yeah.
Just because this came up at the deliberative session. One of the questions from one of the voters was what our write-offs were for the ambulance. And I believe what he meant, and I sent him some information, I haven't heard back from him yet, but was basically the, we'll say, bad debt that people have from the ambulance. So just running some quick numbers, 2024 is our last complete year. 25, we won't have numbers until probably June or July because we're about
right.
6 months behind in terms of insurance. So in 2024, the total amount that we billed out was $236,932. Of that, we received 57.7% of that in billables. We lost, as the billing company explains, a little over 34% due to government fee scheduling. That would be your Medicare, Medicaid.
Just because of their rates, right?
Right. So yeah. Even if we bill $10,000,
right.
they're still only going to pay that amount.
Right.
And then we have to write off the rest.
Correct.
Then we had just over 5% of our patients had bad debt where they didn't pay their balance after the insurance paid. And then a little over 3% of the uninsured patients just didn't pay their bill. So the total of unpaid was $18,896 and change.
That's not horrible.
Not as bad as I thought.
And that's from that 3% and 5%.
That's from the 3% and the 5%. So
that makes sense.
I bring it up because I think we had talked about it a while back about what to do with that, whether we just write it off as sort of, and I hate using this, the cost of doing business,
mm-hmm.
that we're not going to get that money back, versus sending it to collections. And if I remember correctly, we talked about it, I was like, we really didn't want to send it to collections because the billing company said you really don't get anything out of it,
right.
and you're potentially putting someone in bad debt that probably can't pay their bills anyways. So we never made an official policy, and before I go too far into making a policy, I wanted to get the take of the board. And if that's the direction we're going to keep going, because I don't want to change what the billing company is currently doing, which is they bill out, they're only really required, I think, most insurance companies or the billing companies only bill out 3 times. Ours bills out 6.
Really?
So they go out 6 months after the bill, and they another 30 days. And they basically say if we're not getting it the 5th time, like, we send out one last one to hope to get something, and then that's it. So after that 6th time, after the 6 months have passed due, it moves to the bad debt. And I guess the recommendation that they said was that we basically leave it and write it off and get it off of our, I guess, reports.
That's kind of industry standard, though. I mean, we're not...
It is. I mean, most of the time, some of the bigger services that are for profit are sending it to collections.
Yeah.
But they have their own collections agencies that are
right.
that are doing it and not getting the percentage that.
Isn't there a cost?
There is a cost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you
I don't
get
know
a
what
percentage.
It is. It's pretty high
bad
from what
money
I understand.
After bad money, yeah.
So we do have some bad debt on our books from when we started. I'd like to see what the direction is so I can let the billing company know so we can just get that off of the reports so it's not showing that it keeps building and building and building every year. And then if that's sort of the direction, I want to just make sure I have a good policy in place for the ambulance billing. And with that, if someone has a hardship, a process for that person to basically contact the fire department requesting a hardship, there's a lot of templates already out there. A lot of departments around here do that, where the citizen can then submit basically some very basic paperwork, very basic finance request, and then they typically give it to the discretion either of the fire department or it would have to come to the board for just sort of like write that off based on their information. So I just wanted to see what your guys' take was.
I'd prefer that. I mean, if somebody has a legitimate hardship, I think we should take that into consideration. But if somebody's just indifferent to their debt to the town, I say we bill them as much as the contractor will bill them, and then turn it over to a collection agency. That's not going to cost us anything.
It does, I
think.
But
all they do, they discount.
Well, you lose. You discount. They you only get a percentage.
Yeah.
But, what, you know, 50% of something is a lot better than 0% of nothing, too.
Yeah, okay. The only thing is we'd have to do it for everyone.
You can't differentiate it between resident and non-resident.
You can do like if someone actually, no, they actually, like they really frown upon that.
That's not fair. Because the residents are already paying
right
your salary anyways.
Yeah, it's,
so to,
basically
I don't like going
it gets
after
into the point where like Medicare and Medicaid, if you bill, unfairly bill someone because they're not a resident of your town, then it gets into some sticky stuff.
I imagine most Canada residents have supplemental insurance.
Oh, no, I bet they don't.
I actually have a little note, a thing here. So 78% of Canada uses a fee schedule. So Medicare, Medicaid, what
that's
else?
We're all old, that's why.
The VA.
Oh, but they usually have supplemental insurance besides
so
that.
There's 17% of the town has commercial insurance. 4% is uninsured, and then 1% we bill auto liability. So if someone's in a car accident and we can get their information, that actually gets billed
to the accident,
to Allstate,
yeah,
instead,
yeah, okay,
of Harvard Pilgrim.
So it's very little. Very
so
little
we're unfortunately, I mean, this is just on the people we transport, yeah, so I don't have data on what
yeah,
on transport
right
people, but
it's a pretty good number to base it on.
Over 3/4 of our population is a fee schedule, Medicare, Medicaid.
Right. That's at 78%.
And those people, they may have supplemental, but based on Medicare, they just say this is what you're allowed to bill. So they typically are not getting bills for 6 months down the road. They just get wiped clean, if that makes sense.
Do you track like the average age of calls?
Of calls?
Yeah. Like,
I can. It's typically, I mean, I don't have it right here, but I can tell you it's basically probably around 50 or 60. It that's where it climbs dramatically and it goes to 70, 80, and then it drops back down.
Huh. Yeah, because it didn't make
after 80, they don't.
Can
well, just less people in their 90s.
Right.
Can the welfare department help at all in that area?
Do not exist.
Supposedly there's
getting
a lot of services.
I
don't know what she could do or if she could do something to help.
I might be speaking out of terms here, but I thought that she has assistance to help people get their insurance.
Right.
But I don't think that they
she can help.
I don't think
they
financially assist.
Oh no, I don't think they yeah, I don't think
yeah, I think,
that
no, I think
out
she okay. I think she does that.
Okay. Good.
But,
we didn't get the report yet, so I'm waiting.
I can what I'll do is I'll table it and I can ask Jeff.
Can you find out how other towns deal with this? Can you give us some models to
yeah
look at?
I it's basically the same thing. So people can request a hardship, which they have to do the paperwork and that end. And some places do send it to collection and other places don't. So it's really what you're looking to do. I think our initial take was that we didn't want to send it necessarily to collections because the billing company says you don't get a whole lot back, but you're potentially putting someone that doesn't have a lot of means in a worse place financially. And then more from like the ethical side of it is like we want people to call the ambulance if they need help. We don't want them to be worried about It's just like the ER, like they don't care about the insurance end of it until you're stable.
Yeah.
They get you stabilized before.
Then you have the bill.
I can do a little more research and see if there's
other towns
our size doing it, but.
But I tend to not want to pursue, community members, but.
There's a lot.
Well, if you're looking at 18 grand, basically.
Not much. Right.
Huh? In total, $18,000.
And
then,
not much.
And that's no guarantee that you're going to get it anyway.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
So if you wind up with a percentage of that,
that's right.
What are you going to wind up with? I mean, it's not.
To tax something else on a community member, I just in favor of, but. Some people play the game.
How many of them can pay it, but just.
They do. And they do. And I think for the most part.
Yeah, people don't play a game riding in an ambulance. Jeez.
You'd be surprised, Boyd. I'd love to take you for a ride along.
You want to go to Manchester and call
it? Yeah, yeah.
Can you get me to the airport?
Well, let me offer. Yeah, this is fine. I feel better now. Let me know.
Just go sit on Elm Street in Manchester.
Yeah. Okay. That was just something I wanted to work on, was getting something.
Not much of an answer from this side.
That's okay. I'll put together a policy. I'll submit it to you for to look at, and we'll go from there.
Good.
All right, so the New Hampshire DES grant, this is the clean diesel fleet replacement grant. It's actually funds from Volvo. I think it was Volkswagen got sued.
Volkswagen.
A bunch of, so each state sort of got a fair amount of money to replace diesel engines.
It's not an electric fire truck, is it?
Oh, gosh, no.
All right.
This is New Hampshire, not California.
They got them in Maine.
Honestly, the electric engines are very expensive, and they've had a lot of issues. I mean, who would have thought water and electric vehicles would be an issue? But so we were awarded the grant, but we were not awarded as much as I'd asked for. So I'm not sure that we can feasibly do this, but I wanted to at least present it to you and. I guess let you tell me what you want me to do. So the grant was for up to $500,000, which is what we requested. We did not meet the qualifications for the full grant because our engine does not do the amount of miles or hours that they were looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But with the help of the Rockingham County grant writer, they were intrigued by the fact that we had a 31-year-old fire engine that we were still using, and that we had sort of shifted its usage a little bit to limit it so that we could prolong its life, right? So they offered us $317,614.
Weird.
Yeah, basically they said it was the rest of the money they had left over.
Bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, here's some pittance.
So I had a conversation with them today to kind of see what this looked like. Did they give you the 317? I knew it was a matching grant. It's a reimbursement, but it's a reimbursement after the engine comes in.
Oh, lovely.
So we put up all
the money. You're going to put up all of the money ahead of time, which was not entirely explained to me from when we initially started talking about it. We knew it was a reimbursement. But you basically have to get your engine, get it in service, get rid of the other one, and then you say, yes, we're all done, and then they send the money.
Is there a time frame on it?
Oh, we'd have to have it completed by September 30th of 27.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's not so bad.
So we've been doing some research, trying to find like what the best option is. Engine 2, which is the one we replaced a few years ago, if you remember, that was a custom engine. So by custom meaning, just like you go to the dealership and you order your car with all your different options, that's what we did back then. To do that today, it's almost doubled in the cost. So Isaiah was going to be here, and actually George, you're on there. If you remember the cost of engine 2, I'm going to say around $650,000, something like that. To build a custom engine today, you're looking at $1.1 to $1.2 million.
Wow.
And it's almost 2 years from the time of order to the time you get it, which is crazy.
So does that take you out of the qualification of
that?
Yeah,
2 years.
So that takes us out of the qualifications totally. There's another option, which there's a dealer stock. Just like you go to the dealership and pick the car that you want, that's right there. That's sort of an option that we can do. The other is a dealer select, where the dealer has already purchased an engine and will allow a little bit of flexibility in customizing it to what the town's needs are. A little bit more expensive than the straight up stock unit. The stock unit shows up, it is what it is, and you don't get to make any changes to it. There usually is a fair amount of work that goes into a fire engine build, specific to what it's being used for, the equipment that needs to be put on it, that sort of thing. So right now, those engines are somewhere between anywhere from $750,000 to about $1 million, but a little bit less, like $950,000 that they're saying. They were trying to still get some other numbers for me. What we currently have on hand is $310,000, with the other hopeful that we get the $125,000 during the vote, which would get us to $435,000. So the unfortunate part is that's only half of what the engine would, roughly half of what the engine would be. So the town would need to come up with the other half of it up front to get the $317,000 back from the state. So thought about it a little bit more. It's seemingly more like a long shot at this point, based on the timeline and the sort of lack of our additional funding. So
it should have been in this month.
If they had gotten to us literally a week before, we would have been able to switch it on the ballot and would have been in a better spot. Yeah. So I just wanted to get the board's take on it so that I can let them know one way or the other.
Well, we still do have that capital reserve. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we did a pull out of that and then put back later.
The 750 million, was that stock or was that semi?
That was
stock with a few options.
There's
right?
Stock with a few options, and it's the one that was the 750s, like buying a very economical car versus something that's going to last a little bit longer, unfortunately. And I would honestly, if that was the direction, I would say we wouldn't do that, and we should just wait, because we're going to want to keep this as long as we can. I mean, we've kept.
You got 31 years out of this one.
We have a 31-year-old engine that still runs. It's a little tired, but still runs, still can pump, which is, I think, sort of our thought is like we need to have another engine that can last us that long. So I'd rather not go with a stock unit at 750 with a lot of problems and potentially needing to be replaced at 15 mm-hmm. years. Versus waiting for something a little more durable that we can keep for 25 years.
So we have 2 years. Oh, but if you want custom, it takes 2 years.
Yeah. So these stock units that we can customize a little bit, they're about 12 months out. The straight up stock, no change. They said they can get it to you in about 7 or 8 months, but. Obviously, the funding is the issue. I did just look at some of the numbers. There's $423,000 in the future capital improvements fund. We only have $9,500 in the fire suppression water supply line. And then engine one does need to get scrapped as part of this project. Like the engine needs to be basically destroyed. So the rest of it is scrap. And you're only going to get about $5,000, I think, for that, unfortunately. So the only option I saw was that...
Well, that's part of the deal. They want that engine off the road.
Yeah, you have to actually bore a 3-inch hole through the engine.
No kidding.
The worst part is that these clean diesels aren't going to last you 31 years
no,
anyways.
They're not.
Nope.
They have more issues with
most
them.
Most of them are... In obviously busier cities, they're 7 to 10 years, they're moving to a reserve status for another couple of years, and then they're gone. And they have a lot of problems. But that's the only thing you can get now.
Hmm.
The only caveat to some of this is the new engine's coming out in January, next January. It's $80,000 more. So that's kind of where we're at right now with this engine replacement deal. We obviously want to look at some additional grants if they're out there. That was the only option I saw, was that there was this future capital improvement. We don't need to buy it. We don't need to pay for it on order. We can pay for it when we pick it up, which would be next year at some point. But correct me if I'm wrong, you're supposed to have the funds sort of available when you sign it. So I'm good with whatever the board wants to go. If you want me to try to push to try to find some more grants in the meantime, I will, which I'm going to do either way. But if you want to just forego the clean diesel, I just need to let them know.
Yeah, I don't want to keep going into that fund, but that's just me.
Well, I'm just saying, temporarily put it back.
When?
Well, when you get the grant money, it'll come back to the general fund.
Right.
We can't take it out of the general fund, but we can put the money back.
Right, and then we have to get it back into the savings account, so
correct.
To speak.
Correct.
I don't know. I just know how tight our budget was this past year, because we did a lot of spending, you know, and I know it's up to you guys, but
if they gave us $500, we would have been fine.
I know. Well,
you
it's,
know?
It's, yeah, yeah in another
a
week.
Difference.
Yeah.
It's a huge
another
difference.
Week.
But you had
yeah,
to throw away $317,000.
And that's why I brought it for to you guys today.
It's up to you guys. I think we're, but I'm conservative fiscally, so everybody on the
board. So what are you suggesting we do?
I mean,
hold up?
I just think, I think we should. I mean, it doesn't sound like exactly what you want anyway.
It would be the stock custom or stock select, which is like around the 9 to 950 range. So there's a truck committee, and we haven't met as a full committee because this has kind of come on really quickly. But most of the
talk
has been.
So you need 600. You need 600.
Yeah, pretty much.
If it passes, we'll have 435 in the fund if it passes in March. We'll have
435, so we're spending money we don't even know we have.
Yeah, but it's actually a third of what he really wants, because he wants 1.2.
And I mean, I can, if you want, I can ask them he made it seem like he wanted to know sooner rather than later, but I mean, I can ask him
if we
want to wait until after the vote and just say, hey, we have a vote coming up, can we wait?
Oh, yeah.
And try.
There's still no guarantee, but
that's
at least.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pancake breakfast right there.
Yeah. I know. It's a lot. It's still 317 is a lot of money, but there's also short a lot from where I was hoping we would be.
Yeah.
But it was a long shot.
How often do these grants come across?
It's done. This one's done.
But there will be others.
Well, this one was only available because of the Volkswagen thing. This isn't a normal grant. Like, it's actually been going on. I didn't even realize for like the last 2 years.
Oh yeah, it's been going on for quite a while. Yeah.
Litchfield actually got 3 different pieces of apparatus through this.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I unfortunately found out about it in December, so we had like a rush to get it before it ended. So, but I'll see how long they'll hold it, and just tell them we talked and go from there. In the meantime, I'll still push the vendors to get me.
I was
going to
say, can you also get feedback from your truck committee there to see really which way they'd go if it's not money driven?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with Jeff at all for writing grants? Does he still help out?
He actually he didn't know about this one, but Rockingham County actually reached out to me. They have a grant writer or grant coordinator.
A grant writer.
Okay. So she actually reached out to me and was like, do you guys have anything you need? And I said, yes, we need a fire engine. And she actually did a lot of the legwork.
Oh,
once I got all the information, she
compiled
it.
That's
her job. Like that's her sole responsibilities at the county. So
that's great.
Okay. I will see what information I can get from them, and
all right.
We'll just keep on trucking with what we got.
Like we always did.
Well, I meant with the plant, with the project.
Oh, right.
We'll keep working on the vendors and
no
all that.
Pun intended there, huh?
Yeah. What's this on minutes?
So when you were out, we talked about getting rid of paper minutes, but the board wanted to table it until you came back. So there's a memo in here that discusses the answer from
Mike and everything. Yep.
Answers from NHMA and from Mike saying that we are not required to keep paper minutes anymore.
As long as we have the recording, right?
Well, no, as long as we have it electronically. We don't need the recording.
Oh,
they,
really?
They tell us to get rid of the recording.
I know. Mark told us that years ago.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, but I mean, why should we get rid of the recording if what we're saying and doing is all open and honest and transparent?
I don't think we were talking about getting rid of the recording. It was more of
no, that was
a that was just
yeah.
If you're gonna talk recording, you should keep so many years or whatever, and then ditch the rest.
Well, that you can always put electronic too. I mean, that can
the attorneys say to get rid of them as soon as the minutes are finished.
All right. So, what was your discussion on the paper ones?
Just asking if the board would move forward approving us
eliminating
paper copies of minutes. Obviously you would get them for approval purpose, but meaning we won't have binders full of paper copies. Won't be
wasting paper.
It
would just be a copy for the board for that meeting,
and
right?
Then they're approved and
they're still on the website. They're still electronically in our system.
For right to know, people would be able to get. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're backed up multiple ways. They're safe.
As long as we have a paper copy for the minutes.
Absolutely.
For the meeting.
To approve
it,
And then after that, we accept it. If they go on, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, we're doing away with the paper minute?
Steph.
Say away.
Brian? Pat. Okay, good.
Oh, that's progress.
Yes, it is.
All right. We got one other thing I wanted to bring up that this was on a settlement with our assessors and Nomad Holdings LLC versus Town of Candia. Steve Hamilton and Ben Heller have done their job with this and they've come to an agreement. And my question is to the board. Is it okay for us to authorize Amy to sign it?
What's happening here?
It's a request for abatement that these people have negotiated with our assessor. They've come
to an agreement, so
they want to lower the assessed value of some property by $155,000.
Correct.
The assessor recommends it. It's a huge piece of property. It's a very small percentage of his assessed value. So I read that through that today.
Yeah.
And I would urge the board to authorize Amy or Brian to sign that and make the
deal. Yeah, I just figured Amy was more privy to it.
I don't even know. But so this was something that somebody came in to the...
Went to the abatement
process.
No.
She's saying no, you guys are saying yes.
Well, Steve and Ben both worked on it.
There were two people that appealed.
Right.
And the appeal board strongly urges both parties to meet prior to going before the board to come to an agreement. And Steve was able to do that with both people. This is
they
the
made
second.
The agreement.
So he said
they made
a mistake.
No.
Oh.
There was no mistake.
No, they just made an agreement.
Oh, that they'd lower it by that much.
By that much. Small amount. It's not much.
Oh. Okay.
That's my emotion.
To allow Amy
sign it?
To allow Amy or you to sign it on behalf of the town.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Steph.
So would.
Brian? Good.
So did you say that was reduced by $150,000?
Assessed value.
Huh?
Assessed value.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit.
Well,
not, really,
not on a million two piece of property.
Right.
Well, I remember seeing this as a request,
but
they were never given access to the property itself, which is why it was not approved at the time, because they weren't given access to it.
Mm-hmm.
So at least finally.
Since now they've met.
Both parties were able to.
Is it in the sign folder or something, or in the information?
Both parties were able to sit down.
Way back in the beginning.
I think back in June, maybe.
Yeah. All right, is there any old business or other business that any board members have? Seeing none, okay. Town office will be closed on Monday, February 16th for President's Day. So the next select board meeting will be Monday, February 23rd, 6:30. Unless otherwise posted.
February 23rd.
Huh?
The 23rd.
That's what I said.
Oh, I'm sorry, 26th, okay.
No. Anything else?
Move to adjourn.
Wait, do you have something?
Yeah, I just want to the 250th anniversary.
Yeah.
We're having our first meeting on Wednesday.
Perfect. It sounded pretty good there, too. Sounds like you get some stuff going.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Was there a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, we got a motion. You second. All in favor?
Steph.
Boy.
Brian. Thank you.